So I made up a bulletin with all the changes that happened this morning. And this is marked out in blue, and this is marked out in blue, and this is marked out in blue. And then this whole page is all blue. I guarantee that it would have been a lot of fun. Why are you laughing at me? No, just kidding. We will enjoy that, and time will come. But in the meantime, we're going to honor the work the praise team has done. They're going to lead us in a version of What Child Is This? And then we'll have a short message, and we'll continue on with service. So do you want to lead us on in What Child Is This?
Yes. Please stand and join us.
Thank you. You may be seated. We're going to be using two scripture passages this morning. And I know we normally have them up on the screen, but we just didn't have time with everything else that's changing. So the first reading is from Isaiah 35. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and shouting. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For water shall break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp, and the grass shall become reeds and rushes. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Do we have any children who'd like to come down for Young Disciples? Okay, come on. I understand a special thank you goes out to a certain pair of young men who did a lot of shoveling this morning. So thank you very much for that. So, when you drove in this morning, when you were riding with your parents, I shouldn't say when you drove in, that would be kind of scary. What was the primary color outside?
White.
Because the snow is white.
And the snow is everywhere, right?
Yeah.
So when that happens and everything is white, sometimes it's easy to forget that there's still grass.
Yeah, because there's still grass on there because the snow is that's covering up the grass.
Mm-hmm. Now, you guys have done this enough times, so what's going to happen in springtime after all the snow and the ice goes away to the grass and the trees? Yeah.
It turns pretty muddy and then...
it does turn pretty muddy.
And then a bunch of flowers bloom. Yep.
You know, that happens a lot in different environments. The reading I just got done talks about a desert that blooms. Have you guys ever seen a picture of a desert?
No.
No? All the sand?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you guys ever been to a desert?
No.
Not a natural desert, okay. Well, when you get out there, when you first take a look at a desert, it can look kind of dead. All there is sand, maybe a couple of cacti, and that's kind of it. But after a rain, and it does rain sometimes in the desert, it will just release a huge amount of flowers everywhere. All the cactuses will bloom, and a whole bunch of animals will come out of their dens that you never saw before, and it just turns into a huge amount of life. And it can feel really weird because just a second ago, before the rains, it looked like there was nothing there. That can happen in our world too. Like I said, with snow and grass, but also sometimes in other ways. Have you ever had a time, maybe at school, that something seemed hard, but then after a while it became easy and you were able to do it again?
Yeah, because I got the multiply paper.
Mm-hmm.
Then you could just count to something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, math is honestly one of those ways that happens a lot. We can look at it and struggle with it, and then all of a sudden it'll make sense, and we can just kind of do it really easily.
Yeah.
Sometimes it also happens with reading, when we have some new words that we don't understand or are challenging. And we're trying a book that's a little bit harder than we're used to. And then all of a sudden we'll get it when we know our language, and we know the definitions, and we can keep on reading. And sometimes it also happens with friends. Have you guys ever had a fight with a friend before?
No.
Well, thank goodness. I hope you don't. But no, it happens to some of us, doesn't it?
No.
Well, hopefully, eventually, it'll go away and we can have our friends back again.
I always have friends, okay, but I never does. I went to second grade and then I with Tina and Jeremiah. They're my friends.
Well, good. I'm glad for Tina and Jeremiah.
Yeah, but I made them no friends now. And the Hornets. Now I made new friends and Hornets.
Okay. Well, hopefully it'll work out well. So whenever we come to a point in life where things look kind of scary, or there's nothing much going on, there's not much life, we can remember this passage and deserts and our own world with snow and grass and know that God is doing something out there and new life will come. Can we join together for a quick word of prayer? Holy God, help us to look forward to the life that you are bringing. Encourage us to be patient even in hard times. Amen.
Amen. Candy.
Candy, the most important part. Sir?
Not the mama.
Yep, well, there we go. Thank you. Good to see you. Our second reading comes from Matthew 11, 2 through 11. When John had heard in prison that the Messiah was doing things, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one that is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see, that the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those with a skin disease are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet. Yes, I tell you, more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it was written, 'See, I'm sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The first reading, the Isaiah passage, strikes a very hopeful note. In the midst of a bunch of other prophecies that speak of judgments and promises of divine retribution, this little passage just pops up like a flower in the desert. It's sudden, it's unexpected, and truly it's beautiful and refreshing. This is a passage I love dearly. And while it is an Advent passage, this is when we tend to read this, it's also been helpful in other seasons of my life. Times when I am going through grief, times of doubt, times that I'm dealing with the sheer impossibility of the challenges before me. For this is a passage that's a call to hope and surprise, joy and refreshment. If you've ever had a chance to see a desert bloom, it truly is a remarkable visage. And I have been reminded through a variety of conversations that while the desert blooms are remarkable, and it's good for us to hear that the Lord is still bringing forth life in what appears to be dead, that really there's the life is always there. That while these blooms might be spectacular, that doesn't mean that life was not there when the bloom was not happening. In the desert, even in our own backyards covered with snow as they are, there is life. It might be a quieter life. It might be a subtle life. But it's still vigorous and still pushing to come forward. It was there before the blooms, and it will be there afterwards. When the flowers are not coming out, there are still small plants, cacti, microscopic insects, and underground critters burrowing safely underneath the sun, going about their daily existence. So while we look out and we might see something that appears lifeless, waiting for something new to begin, life is already there, already working. The flowers come as foretold by Isaiah, and they will simply add to the vitality that was already present. And it's true, it might draw our attention to it, but let us never forget that God is still nurturing life even when we cannot see it. This week, John the Baptist is in a desert of his own. He's in prison. It's kind of a metaphorical desert, devoid of the confidence that he once knew, separated from the companionship of his friends and his followers, and he has lost his freedom. It's a desert that must have seemed empty and lacking many reassurances from God for what the future has. John had been arrested and jailed for speaking truth, even when those in power did not choose to listen to his words. And he likely knows that his death is close at hand. So is it any surprise that he sends his disciples to Jesus for answers? Are you the one who is to come, or should we wait for someone else? Behind this question, I hear a bunch of more questions. And questions that might come up in any number of our lives. They're the questions that pose, am I doing the right thing? Did my life matter? Am I yielding some result? And that most basic of questions that many of us wrestle with. Is this all worth it? Again, are you the one that I was doing all this work for? Or did I get lost somewhere in the process? There are times in our lives when we also might beg such questions. When we close our business and retire. When we've had a long-term project fail. When we've had a ministry close. When we've lost a loved one. When it becomes clear that a dream that we once had will go unfulfilled. And that death and distance starts to separate us from the possibility of new life. At times like this, we often can feel like we can't see beyond that dry and dusty desert that's all around us. And we come to that very real human feeling. Was it worth it? Or did I just spin my wheels? It might seem strange that John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus himself, would be plagued by questions like these. But he was human, like any one of us. And he had been working for so long, literally making the desert into something new for the people of God. He had been the embodiment of the flowers in the cacti that could not be ignored. Yet John in prison could only see dry sand and dust. Are you the one, or is there something else coming? In his moment, and like so many of us in our moments, he's forgetting that life is there, just beneath the surface, just out of sight. He's forgetting that though he has been part of God's work in the world, God's work went long before he ever was born. And God's work will continue long after John is gone. He needs a reminder from Jesus. He needs to hear that he has been an important part of this process. So hear that Jesus sent him a reassuring tone. Don't worry, John. It's me. I'm here. People are being cared for. You did your role. You prepared the way. Look around and see all the signs that are being fulfilled. The work is not over yet. To borrow from something he said later on in the same gospel, well done, good and faithful servant. We do have super blooms. We do have those wonderful cases in our lives and in our ministries that we feel just absolutely close to God and that something wonderful is happening. When that spirit comes with that surrounding whoosh and everything seems to shimmer for us. But for me, and I'm going to guess for you, we live far more often in the drier stretches between those blooms. We live far more often in the time where God seems a little less obvious, and we wrestle as John does. Have we done something wrong? Have we been a big help? What's the purpose? Here, wherever you are, whether it's in the midst of a flourish of flowers, and if there is, give thanks to God for that. Or if you're in the midst of the desert, not sure if there is life for the future, understand that. And understand that God is still working. Hear that wherever we are on that spectrum, the presence of the Lord is continual. And while we might enjoy the spectaculars, even when we wrestle with the hard times, God is still there. Know that just like John, caught in a terrible, nasty place, that you are loved, cherished, and being made a place for. And know that you too are doing what the Lord is asking of you. So let us go forward in faith to the best of our ability. True, the world might be desert or snow-capped or any other forms of what appears to be lifeless. But the Lord is still at work. And so are we. Amen.